home on the Central Coast. 1340 KYNF.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. Attorney General Eric Holder says it has a settlement with BP over the Gulf oil disaster.
This marks both the largest single criminal fine, more than $1.25 billion, and the largest total criminal resolution, $4 billion, in the history of the United States.
11 workers died when the Deepwater Horizon oil rig exploded days and spawned the worst oil spill in history.
In addition to the money, the company will admit that it lied to Congress by lowballing the amount of oil gushing from the well. Two employees of the company are being charged with manslaughter over the deaths of 11 people killed during the explosion on the rig.
CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis. Eric Holder, regarding the David Petraeus sex scandal, said, quote, "Of course, the White House would have been notified sooner if a national security threat had existed." Gaza has fired dozens of rockets into Israel. Israel's gone after Hamas military targets all across Gaza. Al Jazeera English reporter Jackie Rowland.
These are Air Force jets which are flying over the Gaza Strip, dropping bombs on what they say are targets associated launches.
The president's pick of a Marine Corps general to take over command of U.S. forces in Afghanistan has been answering questions of senators today.
General Joseph Dunford faced some lawmakers skeptical over claims of progress in Afghanistan. Republican Senator Susan Collins.
Intelligence reports the surge in inter attacks.
Nope levels.
Senator, I have not been in those conversations.
Boy, that's interesting to me. A guy that's going to take over the command is not included in those conversations.
The general charged with those numbers, John Allen, is allegation as part of the David Pitts, Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
CDC says America moves clean, smoke-free.
30 to 50 largest cities have laws against smoking, the CDC, Stephen Babb.
There's been substantial progress, but at the same time, the other 20 of the 50 largest cities have lesser smoking restrictions or none at all.
He says most of those cities are in the South. He says attitudes about smoking have drastically changed.
You know, we no longer would expect to see someone smoking in an airplane. I think now increasingly, the same expectations apply to, like, workplaces and restaurants and bars.
Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News Atlanta.
President Obama comments after his helicopter tour of the areas of New York City, Staten Island, and Queens hit so hard by Hurricane Sandy's superstorm.
You guys are tough. You bounce back, just as America always bounces back. The same is going to be true this time out.
Wall Street, the Dow down 42 points. NASDAQ's off about 10, oil 85 plus a barrel. This is CBS News.
Attention homeowners, if your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Want to give birth to smarter kids? Don't drink while pregnant. It's new research.
Drinking even a glass or two of wine a week during pregnancy can decrease a child's IQ by up to 8 points, according to an Oxford University study. Dr. Ron Gray led the research in the journal PLOS-1.
We've got good evidence moderate drinking can be harmful during pregnancy and therefore is best avoided.
Obstetrician Patrick O'Brien explains it's down to genetics.
There seem to be some babies that sort of have a different genetic makeup, so that they're a little bit slow at metabolizing, at breaking down alcohol.
Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
A Rhode Island man has been busted for passing counterfeit $100 bills in Massachusetts. Police say Dana Leland made a pretty basic mistake. Abe Lincoln isn't on real hundreds. It's supposed to be Ben Franklin. He allegedly bought some small items 3 days in a row at the same Target store. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
We believe that even when your team is apart, it should be easy to be together. That when you can meet face to face, you're more likely to see eye to eye. That when everyone is on the same screen, it's a lot easier to be on the same page. Welcome to GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online. With one click, launch or join a meeting from anywhere. It's that easy. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and enter promo code 45 for a free 45-day trial. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
When you're running a facility, safety is key. That's why Grainger offers over 80,000 diverse safety products, all to help you reduce injuries and downtime and keep up with regulations. You might say safety's our middle name. Yep, Grainger, safety, Grainger. You get the idea. Now through November 30th, save off the Grainger catalog price with 25% off selective pond protective clothing and 30% off Ansel products. Just call quickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I got to get on the air here. Hey, it's year 35. The phone's ringing. I got somebody on the line. I got to get to it here, but we got other things to do.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Wait, I'm going right to the phone. I'm going right to the phone right now. Whoa, hello? 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 They hung up. Oh, they hung up. They thought, oh, wait, what happened with Bill? The phone's open today because that's what happened. I was trying to say hello, and then they called exactly at the time that they were going to call. And this is somebody that can't hear me because they're elsewhere. Okay, let's try again. Nah, let's not worry about it right now. Let's do this. I just came across this, and I thought I would. I've never heard this. I've never listened to this at all. But I'm going to try it right now. Okay, never heard this.
Anniversary, baby, got you on my mind.
Oh, I remember that song.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. I'm so happy for you, baby. Now that you found somebody new.
This is lovey-dovey stuff. That's not the right thing. You're with Bill Benica, Talker's Cheap Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYS, celebrating 35 years of wonderful fun and games and foolishness and whatever this radio thing is. This is actually closer, I think. Slim Whitman. Slim Whitman, please. Come on, Slim. Step up, boy. I don't mind if he calls me, darling.
Another year of love has gone by.
Yeah, it's not the right thing either.
Thank you for each day you give to me.
But you can't beat Slim Whitman, you know what I'm saying?
My darling, happy anniversary. It's not getting older, just much better. You bring me so much happiness each day. Everything you are keeps me so in love. I thank the heavens that you came my way. Darling, happy anniversary. Another year of love has gone by.
My darling, happy anniversary. Okay, fine. We got that out of the way. Hi. On the phone is Norm Galloway. Hi, Norm.
Bill, I've been calling you for quite some time, but it's been ringing busy. What is it?
Don't pay no attention.
Is the bill collector?
No, pay no attention. No, it's operator error. It's operator error is what's wrong.
Was that what it is?
It really was. It's one button I should have hit, and I didn't. That's all it was.
I wanted, some little birdie told me that your 35th year in the radio anniversary is today, and I wanted to call you and say congratulations.
Thanks so much, Norm. Now, Norm Galloway, as people may or may not know, of course, was the originator of Slow Roasted Coffee. And back in the day, Norm told me, back in the day, Norm roasted it, he delivered it, he did build it, he did everything to it. Did you pick the beans themselves? I think you got those picked already, right?
No, I had a substitute that went down there and did that for me.
Okay, good. Anyway, so Norm used to listen to me doing foolish stuff on another station way back when.
When I was delivering coffee, I left early in the morning, and I turned the radio station, and one day I found you on the radio. I think you had the title of news adjuster or
something,
news
whatever.
Supervisor.
Something,
or
whatever.
Anyway, some big title, low-paid job of some kind.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's changed.
Well, I listened to you. I kept that station on continually, and when you went off the air, I turned the radio off, and then I turned it on the next morning when I was making delivery, because in listening to you, I could get my mind off of business, and I really did enjoy it.
Well, thank you, Norm. I very much appreciate that.
I thought you were very funny at times, that is.
That's right. And
you had good music, and you had some interesting news.
I did. And I want to tell you how much I enjoyed having you and Audrey come over and have dinner, and we had a great time in Morro Bay, and it was a pleasure to meet her, and we're going to get together again soon, I hope.
Well, Bill, you got something I want people to know, that you and Nancy helped Slow Roast the Coffee to get started. You're the people that went out to the stores and did store demos. Nancy was real good. She was out in front. If I could keep you in the back room making coffee, it was great.
Yeah, she was a little better at exhibiting presence than I was. You know, she did better at that. But anyway, but it was interesting. You know, we did for 11 years. We worked for you and on your behalf. And it was I think we started off. You were barely in stores at all when we started, but we sort of got things rolling, I think.
Yes, you were the ones that helped get through every bit of that.
So that's cool.
Bill, I don't want to hold you up, because I'm sure that you must have another friend someplace that may be calling you on your 35th anniversary.
Okay.
But I want everybody to know, and I happen to think about this as I was going to call you, the first thing I ever said to you when I first saw you,
yes,
I want to repeat it. You do have a nice face for radio.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks,
Bill.
Norm. Talk to you later.
Okay,
okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ever smell coffee beans roasting? You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course, your local grocery stores still carry Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roastin'. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition. Mmm, that tastes great.
It tastes really good. I had some this morning. Right now we got Gary on the line. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Ms. Bill. I thought it was just great that Norm was calling in, because that's how I met you and Nancy.
That's true.
In
huh?
the grocery stores.
Yeah. We did a lot of
that. Those were good days.
Those were interesting days. We were in it was arduous. We were in Santa Barbara every weekend for 10 years.
Yeah.
And
the interesting that road.
But here's the thing, but we were also, you know, worked during the week here in town. And so the success of that really was is when we started out, Norm said, would you do a demo for us? We didn't even know what they were talking about. And then he said, would you do another? Then would you do another? Then would you do another? He said, okay, let's do this. So the interesting thing is when we started out, there was just a few cans of coffee on some of the shelves in some of the stores. And when we finished, we got our last rack. We got a rack of coffee in the Vons in Montecito, which is the highest dollar volume Vons there is. And so once we had accomplished that, we had at that point then we had our coffee in every supermarket from Paso Robles to Montecito.
Yeah, that's That's one of the things I sometimes can't find exactly the Irish cream I want.
Well, yeah, you can't sometimes.
That every store in this county, I'm going to find the slow roll rack.
And now you can go out to the shop if you want to, and if you need your Irish cream, you can go out there.
If I'm going out there for my last free visit to Montana de Oro.
That's right, your last free trip to Montana de Oro. Nah, you're a vet. You're a vet. You can buy that. I think it's $25 or something. I don't even know it's that much. 15 maybe. Anyway, you can buy it for a lifetime pass if you're a veteran.
Yeah, I heard that.
For all the state parks.
Something else, I wanted to mention, I learned a lot about drinking coffee from you and about how to store it and how to not store it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I found that it's all true. But
We were taught by the best. Let me just say that. So we were taught by the best, so that worked out for us.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why it's good.
And then I did radio. I did radio on the side.
I'm also interested in hearing little backgrounds of different things going on around the community. It really is cool. And I always know if I got your station if you're playing music because nobody else would play that. I don't think I've heard Stuart Whitman on the radio.
I was going to say, when's the last time you heard Slim? Anyway, but this is it's been. I have to tell you, Gary, it's been a fun 35 years for me. It's hard to believe. You know, I sit here like one of these old guys, going, I can't possibly believe it's been that long here in St. Louis, but it has. And so the fun part about being on the air that long and being part of this community that long is you know who's lying about what usually.
Oh yeah. And I shouldn't be. And Ms. Nancy explained that to us when we met down in Royal Granny that time. I shouldn't be surprised that it's unbelievable how many of my friends and acquaintances mentioned that they heard me on your radio show. I thought you mean there's actually somebody out there listening.
Yes,
and apparently, yeah.
Yeah, we got a few. Anyway, that's really great, Gary. I'm glad. Thank you for listening and being part of this radio program.
Well,
and I hope
you appreciate the part you've played in the last 35 years.
Thank you.
They've been good years for me.
All right, Gary, thanks a lot, man.
Be well, Mr. Bill.
Okay, thank you, sir. Say hi to Trish.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm having my usual day, my usual kind of day here where things don't want to queue up, and now I got it. Sure, don't mess with Bill. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Don't mess with Bill.
No.
Don't mess with Bill.
Don't mess with Bill.
Say it one more time.
Don't mess with Bill.
Well, I know he's the guy who put tears.
Billy alone. You're Bill Becker, Talker, Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network on this 35th anniversary of my own, and I have Debbie on the phone. Hi, Deb.
Hi. I would like to call in. Well, wanted to call and wish you a happy anniversary, and I'm glad you're taking calls today to do this.
How long ago did we meet you or your mom first? Your late mom.
Well, mom knew you before I met you.
Yeah, I think
because
that's
mom
right.
knew you when you. She could tell some stories about you back in the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, your mom.
You probably heard you on one of the first of the 35 years.
Probably, yeah. This is Blanche True was a great fan and a nice listener and a nice lady. And
I know if she were here, she would call you.
I think she would, too. She would, too. I loved your mom very much. She was very nice. Anyway, Debbie, it's been nice. Certainly, I've gotten to know you. And Debbie used to come, and we were doing coffee and keep us company a little bit and say hi. And that was also very nice. And,
yeah. Hopefully you'll still be around another 35.
Hopefully, just even one I'd be happy with. the way this business works, you know.
Right.
That's
yeah,
all
yeah,
I
no,
ask.
That's true.
One
well,
more
congratulations.
Year. Thank
and,
you very much.
And I look forward to finding you again after you,
get organized here. Thank you.
Around and
all
stuff
right,
and listening to you. So.
Thanks, Deb.
Well,
have a nice
good day.
Thanks. Bye. Bye. Okay, I will. Bye. All right, we have, let me turn that button off so I don't screw up. I should probably, yeah, see this. There was something wrong with that right there. That's why I didn't want to queue up. I can't believe it queued up at all. The music I'm playing today obviously is significant to me and for different reasons. So the next song you hear, I'll explain it after we talk to somebody on the phone. Hello? Hello?
Hello there, Bill. It's Pandora.
Hi, Pandora.
How are you?
I'm sorry you're so busy and you couldn't come in today because Pandora was one of the first people I met in San Luis Obispo.
And I shudder to think when I think that was 1977, and I remember it absolutely as if it was yesterday. See, that's the kind of impact you have on people.
Well, I don't know. I can't. I try to remember stuff, and it doesn't work anymore. But that's a no. But I do. No, I remember. I remember because you startled me.
I did?
Yes, we had the Dodgers or something we're on. And you came in and sat down, and then I think I was out of the room or I was facing the other way. I was doing something, and I turned around, and here you were sitting there, and I was like, whoa, what's that?
Wow, there
and
you go.
It was a Pandora who came by to say, hi, I heard you, and I wanted to see what you look like. And a lot of people have been disappointed with that, but they do it anyway. You know, so that's really funny. Anyway, that was a fun story, too.
A lot of water under the bridge. Boy, we've done projects together and radio shows together, and
you know what was interesting? If you go and you Google me or you, and somewhere along the line somebody was very unhappy with the fact that you were involved with the Los Osos sewer, and that I was a radio guy that could comment on it, and I had an association with you, and I thought to myself, well, that's pretty ridiculous because I comment on lots of things and have associations with lots of people, you know. If I couldn't comment on anything that somebody was associated with that I knew, I couldn't do anything.
Well, there
you have it. Yeah, I mean, that's just weird. But anyway, that was interesting. But
we've done some great projects together.
We have.
I remember coming down from the Bay Area one time when I was commuting back and forth, and you did a bunch of radio production for me, some voiceover stuff.
That was for up in Marin or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. We've done, when I think
now,
of
did
all
I ever
projects,
tell you,
we've
did
done
I ever tell you what happened with that?
Do I know what happened to that?
No, let me tell you what happened. I don't know if I've ever told you this story. I may have. Here's what happened. So Pandora asked me to do a commercial for a place up in the Bay Area. And so I did it, and I didn't think anything of it, you know, and Pandora paid me, and that was the end of that. And so then what happened was, and this is Pandora through her ad agency, I got a call from
BMI?
No, not BMI or ASCAP. The other people, the people that are the union.
Oh, I don't know.
I can't remember what the name of the union is. Anyway, so I got, because why would I care? I'm not part of the union. Anyway, so I got a call from the union and the radio union. And so they said, here's how the rules work. You can't run a spot in a major city until you join the union. And you can't join the union until you've run a spot in a major city. You see what it's like? They want you to do it. They want to catch you. And then they want to say, if you want to do any more commercials for you know, in a major marketplace, you're going to have to pay and go to the union. So I was like, well, what the heck is that? Anyway, I didn't plan on doing it anymore, so I never joined the union, obviously.
Oh, well, see, and you never told me the story either.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, they called me. I can't. The fact that I cannot remember right now what the radio union name is it's typical of what's going on in my life right now, tell you. Not remembering.
So how does it feel? You've done radio now for what, 35 years?
35 years here, and then 2 years before that, 37 years.
Oh, so you were a newbie when I first met you in 1977.
Well, no, I'd already worked in Spokane for a couple of years.
Well, okay, but you're certainly new to this area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I was brand new to the area for sure.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And what a legacy you are leaving and have made for yourself.
Well, thank you. I really didn't know that much about San Luis Obispo. I'm going to confess something. When I lived in L.A., I'd go up to Cambria sometimes on long weekends and spend a night on Moonstone Beach, you know, not on the beach itself, at a motel. And so I had never actually, this is going to sound preposterous, but it's true, I had never actually driven into San Luis Obispo. I had no idea what the city was like. So even though I was familiar with the area, so to speak, I had no idea what San Luis Obispo was. And so it was an adventure to come here and discover San Luis Obispo.
And are you sorry you didn't go back to Spokane, or are you really pleased that you...
No, you know what? I, like a lot of people in this business, I've had a lot of offers and a lot of opportunities along the way, and I've been grateful for them. But any time I said to somebody, have you ever been here? And they said, yes. I said, would you leave? And they go, no. You know, so it's, you know, it has this place, you know, attracts people. You stay here, you know, a lot of people that I've worked with have gone on to bigger and better things as far as broadcasting and radio and stuff. But that used to be a contention that Dan and I had all the time. You know, he'd be like, oh, you know, I don't want to lose somebody. I want to keep people and all that stuff. I said, Dan, you know, you and I are here for the rest of our lives, but these young people have a place to go. They got things to do. So I always encouraged them.
Yeah, I just thought of something else. You did, and I think it was about a 25-minute voiceover that we did. I've even forgotten what the topic was. It was a movie that we made, gosh, 20 years ago for something. It was for...
What was it? Yeah, we did make a movie.
To teach kids to read? I don't remember, but whatever it was just a great project.
And then I did another, you know, another outfit hired me to do a reedy thing like that. And it was some psychology thing. And it was really, I mean, I had to study the heck out of this thing before I could do it. And so I've had a lot of fun opportunities with that kind of stuff. I had a chance to do a TV show and do that crazy movie show that I did. What else was I going to tell you? I just had some good a lot of opportunities along the way. They've been fun, and I'm glad I took advantage of them and did them.
Well, what I enjoy about you and certainly about your show is that when you talk about some of the products or the services that your sponsors offer, I believe you. I mean, it's like Paul Harvey. Like Bill says, it must be true.
Well, here's the thing, and this has been the advantage of working for myself. It's been a struggle to work for myself in its own way, of course, because I'd rather be doing broadcasting, trying to convince people they should be on the air with me. But the advantage I've had is I've had people that approach me and say, we'd like to be on your radio show, we'd like to sponsor you, who I don't want to sponsor me, and I can come up with an excuse or whatever I do and say, okay, well, I don't have room for you right now or whatever. And I only have to put people on the air that I want to put on the air. So that's really nice for me.
That's great.
I mean, that's really, that's a luxury for anybody in broadcasting, of course.
So what's next?
Nah, I don't know. Well, next, I'm going to embarrass my wife because when Nancy and I first met at the KVC, and I was single then, and so I met Nancy, and so then I played her a song, and I said on the air, I said, this song is for Nancy, who I just met not too long ago, and she works here at KVC, so as soon as you and I are done, I'll play it.
Oh.
All right.
So how long have you guys been married now?
18 years, being together 25.
Does not seem like it.
I know, isn't it? It's too weird. There's a song. Let's not get into what's the water under the bridge. It's too weird to even imagine.
Okay.
It's too weird to imagine it, really.
Well,
is.
Happy anniversary. We listeners have certainly been have benefited from your being here, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Pamela.
And I hope you have lots more good years than we get to listen to.
Okay, thanks. Good one. Say hi to Gary for me.
I will do that.
Thank you,
thanks.
Madam. Okay, bye. Here it is.
If I said you have a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?
She almost never talked to me again, honestly.
If I swore you were an angel, would you treat me like the devil's a knife? If I was dying of thirst, would you flow love, come quench me? If I said
against me. Anyway, so I had somehow we got along after that. I'm not sure exactly how I convinced her that I was actually I was pure at heart is really what I was, and I convinced her that. Okay, You know who? I guess Brent just came in. I wish Brent had come in because we could have sat here and talked about his better painting business right here, quality painting, reasonable rates. Brent Hayworth. And his number is 528-4679. And you know what he brought me? He left me this. I wish he'd stayed. He brought me TV Sports Heroes commercials. And I'm going to embarrass myself because I don't know the person at the very top. Roger Maris is the second guy in the front, and Mickey Mantle is the third guy in the front. I don't know what Roger Maris was pitching. Mickey Mantle here has, I think it's called, there was some kind of a syrup. Kearns? No, back when. Anyway, so thank you very much. And also a book I have, Schott's Miscellany, an almanac. So I'm looking forward to enjoying those. Let me get on a horn right now and say hi to somebody. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Billy boy. Mikey, here's Mike calling from the side of the road with a bum tire. My poor Mike. Mike was going to come in today, and he's on his way into San Luis Obispo, and he calls me and says, my tire went to heck in a handbasket. I'm between 58 and Santa Barbara Road, and I'm just sitting out here watching the crows and waiting for the auto club.
Yeah, well, I got one of those little tires put on, and I'm over here at the place waiting for my tire to be replaced. But it's a little bit of a walk to the studio where I see over there.
No, that's all right. If that gets done, you know, because some boys, San Luis tires sometimes, they get busy. If that gets done, though, and you want to come by, please do.
All right. Sure will.
Okay. Yeah.
Wanted to call you up and make sure that I congratulated you on 35 years.
Thanks, man.
In a business like radio, especially here on the Central Coast, that's a heck of a thing.
You know what? In a business like the radio on the Central Coast, you're right, it is. So I've barely been lucky sometimes, but I've been lucky, and that's really what it comes down to a lot of times is just your luck. And I'm so grateful that that's what's happening.
Well, I just think about all the different people that have been in radio here on the Central Coast and now are doing one thing or another or several things. A lot of them that they have to when they're in radio anyway.
The main person I need to thank, of course, is Nancy because she's stood by me for 25 years of this nonsense. And been a lot of help to me and a great supporter. And so that's been special for me. And then I should also thank the people that have employed me, even though some are no longer with me or us.
But, yeah.
Anyway, I'm grateful of them that I had a chance to work.
Yeah, well, it just it's a great thing to be able to hear your voice. One of the steadies around in a world of ups and downs, shall we say.
Yeah, really, really. I've been very lucky.
Well, no, you have to have a lot of talent to be able to be around for that long of a time.
Maybe.
I mean, you're looking at now going on 40.
Yeah, let's not talk about
it. And I hope you don't have any pictures of when you started at 35 years ago, because
I do.
Back at when I started in my business, I feel sad at the way it turns out now.
You know what? You know what's interesting? I had, and this is a true story, I don't remember exactly what I looked like when I came here. I think I had long hair, though. I know I had long hair and a mustache. And when I first started in radio, I had an afro and leisure suits.
You sound like my barber.
No, seriously. He still wears leisure suits, right, and has an afro. But seriously, that's my first radio job, you know, and the first person I ever walked in as a client and said, how do you do? And the guy looked at me and he said, what are you? And I said, I'm going to be your best friend in 6 months. And this guy, his name was Bill Murren, and he laughed and said, I doubt it. And sure enough, within 6 months, we were very good friends.
Well, that just shows that the other thing is being able to make the friends that you have in the business. I know that I heard you celebrating somebody else's time or 75 years of radio on another station, and I was totally impressed with how many people wanted to call to talk to you at the time.
Yeah, that was really swell.
It shows that you're a heck of a nice guy, Billy Boy, able to have that many people want to do that.
Now you're going to embarrass me, and you know you are. I'm sitting here now. I'm in two conditions right now. I'm embarrassed because the mic just said that, and I have to say something else. The computer in the middle studio that runs the beach, Well, the fan died, so they had to put a portable fan onto it, and then they had to turn the air conditioner way down to make sure that it didn't go off the air, because their whole radio station would go off the air, and the engineer's on, Major Tom's on vacation for a week. So because this is how life works in radio. Something always goes wrong as soon as the engineer leaves for vacation. So then I come in here. It's so cold, I can't believe it, and I didn't bring a jacket. So luckily, Katie out front, she said, well, here, I have something to come close to fitting you. Go ahead and try that on. I said, okay, thank you, I'll take it. So if you had come here and you had not had your jacket, you would have been frozen. If you come here now and without a jacket, you'll be frozen.
Oh, and the weatherman, too, since I'm standing outside, they got it the total correctness again. It's sprinkled a little bit here and there, and looks like it's going to start pouring at any minute. So,
yeah,
they were a day off because it was supposed to come in sometime tomorrow and be throughout the weekend. So, typical.
Typical stuff right there, pal. All right, well. It still might rain today. I think it might still rain today, but it's supposed to rain for sure by the weekend, so we could use that.
Yeah, well, we can always use the water. It just always seems to happen at the wrong time.
Exactly, exactly. if you get a chance, come on by, Mikey.
I sure will, Billy Boy.
Thanks for the call.
Take care.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, another good friend from radio. I sure have met a lot of great people doing this job. Wow. Then there's some others. But you have that, you know what I mean? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Right now it is 12:36. You're with Bill Benica. Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network. That's been on for 15 years, I guess. I've been doing talk radio. And then before that, we had all kinds of adventures before that, doing all kinds of different things, but always on the air. Anyway, so it's been a trip. It's been a trip and a half, as my wife would say. Let's hear some people that we also became good friends with that were sponsors and are just a great couple.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shoe Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
At 106 and 7/8 today, we have Jim D coming in from the Palm Theater. We're going to talk movies, 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 and we're going to have our normal hour, you know. What was I just going to tell you? Oh, I was looking at this Slim Whitman thing, and here's why. This is why I don't know how it happened on the West Coast. On the East Coast, Slim Whitman was one of the first things, his albums were one of the first things that were advertised on television that you could buy off the TV. But here's the weird part. They would, and they've learned not to do this anymore, I can tell you that, because of people like Bill Benica and his brother and some others. You could buy it COD. And so we would order Slim Whitman albums for our friends and relatives. We thought it was funny, to tell you the truth. Okay. Anyway, let me see what else I got. Let me see what else I got here with Slim. Because we used to listen to Slim on the advertisements all the time. And actually, Slim Whitman has sold like more, some weird number. Whitman has sold, you know, one of the record breakers in album sales or something. That's really quite funny. Okay. He can yodel too. Yodel's good. All right. Oh, here's, this should be a, let's see. Let's see, this may have a little yodel in it. Well, what do you think? Whoa. Yes, I'm here. Come find me.
When I'm calling you,
is there yodeling in this particular song?
Will you answer to? That means I offer my love to you to be your own. If you when you hear my love call ring and clear.
What'd you do for your 35th anniversary of the Reeve? I played some Slim Whitman stuff. I had a good time. You can go back and talk to Sheep Friends and Neighbors Network. Thanks for joining me again today. This is a interesting. We didn't get to some news here. Let's do this. We should probably get to some news here because it's important. It's important stuff. It's important stuff right here. Let me just a second. Let me get this organized. Okay, I got that organized. Okay, let me. Well, wait a minute. Let's take a fact from the local journalists here. This is okay. Now remember, I've said I'm kind of I'm keeping my opinion of Jill Kelly to myself until they prove that I'm wrong. Well, here's the first thing that's an indication that something's not good. Okay, because remember they're saying now here it says emails between Al and Kelly beyond flirtatious is what the paper said today, and so it's like but here's the point. They're not saying who said what to whom yet, which is very important, you know what I mean? She could, because it could further her socialite, is it a career? What do you call it? Socialite standing. She could be kissing up to the guy, but not saying anything over the top, you know what I'm saying? Okay, because she goes on the base all the time doing these parties. Okay, so, and then in her house, $1.5 million house, so, which of course here in San Luis Obispo is a very small cottage, but, you know, I'm just saying back there, it's a lot of money. And so the interesting thing then is that you have this whole thing. But here's what I'm telling you. This is the first time I saw this. The official who spoke on the condition of anonymity, which means that he should be taken out and shot because of the sensitivity of the situation, said the investigation is ongoing and the content of the estimated, are you ready, 20 to 30,000 pages of communications between Al and Jill Kelly. What? 20 to 30,000. Can I be honest with you? I have not sent 20 or 30,000 emails in my entire life to everybody. I haven't come close. I haven't come within a million miles of that. 20 to 30,000 emails? What did they have time to do anything else? You got to admit, that's really, really bizarre. That's in my book, that's way bizarre, and I'm sticking by it too because I just don't understand that at all. So anyway, that's I thought that was very strange, and I'm sure you think it's a little bit strange too, don't you? Okay, that's a lot of emails. All right, that's one of the things I want to share today. That's one of the important things. Other things going on, of course, the Coastal Commission said to PG&E, no Boomy, no Dewey. So they're not going to do seismic testing as of now. We'll see where they're going to go with that. They also, the woman who was responsible for the hit and run in Napomo was arrested.
And they're not saying exactly how they put it all together, but they did. What else was in the headlines today? I'll check.
A family-owned company, and we love where we live. We are your neighbors. We are How'd You Sleep Last Night? Idler Sleep Source has the perfect beds for a perfect night's sleep. Ready for perfect? Try Sealy, Simmons Beauty Rest, Tempur-Pedic. We have them all and more at every price. Free delivery, free setup, free haul away every day. Paso, San Luis Obispo, Idlers.net. Idler Sleep Source, best prices guaranteed.
Best prices guaranteed right there, Idlers. Make sure you get into Idlers and get the thing done. All right, let me see what else we got going on here. Here's what I was going to do. I was going to go over here. I thought I had this put up, but I guess maybe I didn't today. Although, wait, what story is this I have? Oh, whoa. I know I have a story up here that I do have up. Okay, but let's do this first. Let's do what we should do first. Wait a second. Okay, CalCoastNews.com. Go to CalCoastNews.com 24/7, and stuff is always appearing up there, and you can see. I know. That's what I did. Oh, so we did the thing. Cayucas teen accused of armed bank robbery. 17-year-old Cayucas male was arrested for allegedly robbing the Morro Bay branch of Founders Bank on Wednesday, shortly before 4:30 p.m. You'd think you'd kind of go out of town a little bit further. I mean, I realize I only have one bank in Cayucas, and so maybe you wanted a choice, so I went to Morro Bay. But still, you know, an air board seeks help from Sacramento on implementing the dust rule, which we actually talked about yesterday, the fact that, you know, the Air Pollution Control District in San Luis Obispo says, well, the state's not doing their part. You know, they're just going neener. So they're not happy about that. So that's what we have. Those were our headlines today. So there you go. So at 12:46, you're still up to the minute with Bill Benica and CalculusNews.com. All right. Now, let's get to this story, because this is just kind of a hoot. All right. This is just kind of a hoot. But it's worth going on the New York Times website, or just go to Google, and I'll tell you what to Google, and then you'll come across the story, and you can come across the actual review that this man did about this person and his restaurant, a new restaurant in New York.
Guy Fieri is one of the most recognizable chefs on TV. He hosts Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, the most popular show on the Food Network.
How you doing, man?
Love it. We love it.
He has a rock star persona that leaves some fans speechless.
Where are you from?
I don't know.
But at Guy's American Kitchen and Bar in New York City, Fieri's newest restaurant, the food is leaving critics with a bad taste in their mouths. A really bad taste. The New York Times gave the restaurant no stars, not one. Instead, food critic Pete Wells calls it poor and serves up insults. Were you struck by how very far from awesome the awesome pretzel chicken tenders are? Did you try that blue drink, the one that glows like nuclear waste, he says? Any idea why it tastes like a combination of radiator fluid and formaldehyde? The review went viral.
All of a sudden, it was kaboom. That was all anybody in the food world could talk about.
Russ Parsons is food editor at the LA Times. He says the problem is that Guy's American Kitchen isn't selling all-American food. In place of a cheeseburger, Guy offers a black Angus patty with a slathering of donkey sauce.
Something that he's invented called donkey sauce, which is like, that kind of cracked me up. It's like, would you eat something with donkey sauce on it?
But in this case, bad food could cook up good publicity, says Top Chef winner Michael Voltaggio.
How bad can a negative review be for business?
I think in this case, it's probably going to help, because I'm curious now.
Next you time think
I'm
it's going to help?
I'll probably pass by and see what it's all about.
Because you want to see if that margarita really tastes like radiator fluid.
Or see if it's as blue as they say. I don't know.
He says one bad critic review won't kill a restaurant, but consistently bad food will. And on Yelp, most customers say they won't be back for seconds. The steak was so rubbery it felt like I was chewing beaver tail. And after getting our bill, we just felt cheated.
This is the bar snack of bar snacks.
Fieri has an answer to his critics.
You can't have 8 restaurants and be doing it wrong or that wrong.
So is he right? We'll know in short order.
Nice to meet you.
For CBS This Morning, Carter Evans, Los Angeles.
There you go, for CBS This Morning. Because, you know, the whole thing is just like, boy, and how does a guy know what a beaver tail tastes like? How does he know what formaldehyde tastes like and all that kind of thing? It reminded me when we were doing Slow Roast of Coffee, and a woman said, this tastes like battery acid. And I said, "Real? I've never had battery acid. Is it just exactly like that?" And then my wife had to nudge me under the table and say, go away because you're starting to fight. All right. Radio has brought me the pleasure of knowing this man and his family. And I have Frank on the line. Hi, Frankie.
How you doing?
I am doing good. I'm okay.
You surviving?
Surviving it.
35 and plus one.
So, Frank, you and I met, boy, right back in the very beginning of things, when we did Mustang Sports, you were one of the huge Mustang, well, you've been involved with the Mustang Sports program your whole life, it seems, and you worked at Cal Poly, but the Mustang Boosters was a very active organization at the time, and it was not like I even had a choice. We were the Mustang station, so of course we went to the booster things, and that's when you and I first met. And you haven't, I'm going to say this: we've all gotten older, really. I mean, I understand that, but you haven't. Your look hasn't changed a lot. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say anything else but that. I'm just going to say, but you look a lot like you looked when you were younger.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm say that. I mean, really.
Now, you know, the best picture I've ever had of you, or have of you, was when we were playing New Hampshire in Mott Gym, and you were doing stats.
All right.
And Mike is standing up on the table,
yelling.
And you got your head down like you were looking really important.
Yeah, like I'm not with that guy. Who got a technical called on him for doing that, by the way? When's the last time they announced it? Well, remember the baseball game where the guy played three blind mice and the umpire threw the music guy out of the game, whatever. It's kind of the same thing with Mike. Mike created a storm there, but it was really fun. You know, and Frank and I have just been involved with a lot of stuff together. But one of the things that Frank did was the Mustangs didn't have cheerleaders for a long time, Cal Poly. And so Frank said, well, we should have cheerleaders for our guys, you know. And so he asked me, he said, would you be a judge? And then we got recruited some other people. And I said, okay. And you say to yourself, Bill, how do you know about judging cheerleading? It's like anything else I've ever done. I don't. I'm just going to do it. So anyway, but I thought we were really above board, as I say. We really looked for girls that not were pretty or whatever, but we looked for girls that could really seem to cheer really well. And here you have to remember something: these were girls that obviously came from high schools that had cheered in high schools to know how to cheer at all, because we didn't have any cheering at Cal Poly. So I did that, I think, 2 years, and then I couldn't stand the idea of rejecting these people and they'd cry and stuff. I couldn't take it. I couldn't take that. I didn't want to be a judge in anything ever again. It's like
a lot of those young ladies worked for me in Reaper Graphics, and they become family.
I bet.
And I mean, they're scattered all over the place, and I hear off every once in a while I get a little note from them and everything. But Roberta and I had a pleasant, really a surprise that you can't believe. Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, we got called up to the stage that they have on the O'Neill Green.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, President Armstrong and Don Oberholm, who was the athletic director, came over, and we got a personal letter from the president framed and one from Don.
Good.
Autographed football.
Good.
We got, jackets. We got invited to sit in the president's suite next year for a game.
Really? You did well. The Mustangs struggled at that game, but you seem to have done quite well.
Well, we hit.
They only scored 70 points. I know they were shooting for higher than that. I know they were shooting for higher.
Well, I'm looking forward to be able to be a fan again. Just go over and watch the game.
Well, yeah, it's because you've always been doing stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. And Frank's been barbecuing and doing all kinds of things. He has a team over, the basketball teams of his house. I mean, just so many things that you've done for the Mustangs. And I'm really, really glad to hear that. I'm sorry it wasn't in the paper. It should have been. You should have been acknowledged in the paper. But anyway, I'm really glad to hear that you got that acknowledgement from the university, because you certainly deserve it.
Yeah, it was really hard. The barbecue crew in itself collected money, and we've got going to get two massages and two dinners out on the town.
Good.
Good. I might have one more. If we make the playoffs, I'll do one more, but... it's been a good run, Bill, that's part of my life.
If they make the playoffs, it'll be fun to do one more.
Oh, yeah. Now, yeah.
All right, yeah. You've done your share, that's for sure, And I am grateful that you're a friend, and I'm glad you're my friend, and I'm proud
right.
that you're my friend.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye. All right, you're Bill Bennett, Talk Is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network. We're 5 minutes away from the news. exactly 5 minutes away from CBS News. And then when after that happens, we're going to have Jimmy D's going to be here, and we're going to do our reel-to-reel movie thing. All right, I'm excited about that. So Guy Fieri just got toasted by that guy. And so now the question is, you know, did this guy have it in for Guy Fieri, you know, or was it that bad, you know? And so as he said, you know, I have 8 restaurants. How bad could I possibly do? And so I don't know. I don't, you know, because sometimes when restaurants first open, not so good sometimes. So there's no, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to Times Square in New York and trying it. I'm not even going to Northern California to go to his other Mr. Garlic's or whatever it's called. I'm not doing that either. So just have to watch him on TV. Oh, I'll tell you this though. I was so I don't know why I was surprised at this. You know, I don't invest much emotionally in people that are on television. I don't have a need to or a reason to. You know what I'm saying? So they're just there. Some I like better than others and all that kind of stuff, like anybody else does. You know, but I wouldn't take the time to write about somebody. I mean that. But you should have seen the number of negative letters about Guy Fieri that were in the New York Times. I mean, one after the other, after the other, after the other, about the guy's phonies, the balonies, and, you know, this. It's like, holy cow. I got my friend over here. I got my friend is going click, 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 bang, 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 click, 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 bang, 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 bang. And that's always annoying me, you know what I'm saying? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to here and play it again. I'm going to do a song that is significant in my life because I've always played this song the last day I worked somewhere. So we're going to play it now.
Game to game. CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Closed-door, secret hearings on Capitol Hill today about the administration's handling of the terror attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi.
Top officials from the FBI, CIA, and other agencies spent the day in closed-door briefings with the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, telling them what's known about September's Benghazi attack, including why early intelligence reports turned out to be wrong. Democrat Dutch Ruppersberger.
We got a lot of information at the hearing, and we got information that clarified a lot of facts.
He and others say the scandal surrounding former CIA Director David Petraeus also came up, and Petraeus will appear before both committees tomorrow. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
On the email scandal and the four-month-long investigation that led to the resignation of David Petraeus, Attorney General Eric Holder says there's a reason the president was not told what was going on.
Had we made the determination that a threat to national security existed, we would, of course, have made that known to the president. And also to the appropriate members on the Hill.
Attorney General Holder also announced a $4.5 billion settlement with BP over the Gulf oil rig disaster in 2010 and manslaughter charges being brought against two former BP workers in the deaths of 11 oil rig workers. Tyson Slocum at Public Citizen, not satisfied.
That's not criminal justice. That is allowing a company to go scot-free for engaging in willful behavior that killed 11 workers and put 5 million barrels of oil into the Gulf of Mexico. It's a disgrace.
Israel is moving troops toward the Gaza Strip, and reserves are being called up in case a ground invasion is ordered after airstrikes on Hamas military targets in Gaza. This as Hamas fired dozens of rockets into Israel, including one that landed near Tel Aviv. There are casualties on both sides. We were hoping the drought that hit America right in the breadbasket might end soon.
Drought conditions still impact more than 58% of the lower 48 states. And in the government's latest long-term forecast, John Gottschalk at the National Climatic Data Center sees no widespread relief.
The majority of the drought across the interior of the United States is quite strong, and we're expecting persistence of that drought into the early spring.
The drought's effects are obvious in the government's new inflation report, with milk, cheese, bread, meat, and chicken prices all rising. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
On Wall Street today, the Dow lost about 28 points, the Nasdaq lost nearly 10, and oil prices at $85.50 a barrel. What does it take for a toy to make it to the Hall of Fame? Iconism, for a start. Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia action figures are new entrants. Patricia Hogan at the Strong Museum in Rochester, New York.
The Star Wars toy line is worth something like $20 billion over the past 35 years.
Also in the hall, dominoes. This is CBS News.
The holidays are all about spending time with loved ones. Whether you're celebrating old family traditions or starting a few new ones of your own, the Company Store is here to help you make your holidays truly memorable. Find everything you need to create an inviting space filled with all the comforts of home at thecompanystore.com. Start with luxurious bedding, from festive flannel sheets and sumptuous quilts to the highest quality down comforters. Pamper yourself and guests alike with ultra-plush towels offered in a variety of sophisticated colors. The Company Store has all the seasonal decorations you will love, like whimsical pillow covers, felt stockings, and doormats. Set a merry mood for your home the moment friends walk in the door with the Company Store. Give the gift of warmth with cozy micro-fleece robes, down booties, and their popular family flannel pajamas. Patterned in exclusive prints and sized for one and all. Even the family dog. More products, more comfort, more of what you love. The Company Store. Right now, receive 20% off your entire order. Shop online at thecompanystore.com and enter promo code RADIO at checkout.
All is well with the NASA rover studying Martian landscape and weather.
Scientists say Curiosity has discovered some unusual wind patterns inside Gale Crater. That's part of the reason it landed there instead of on flat land. Sometimes thick, sometimes thin atmosphere.
Curiosity is finding that the radiation environment on Mars is sensitive to both Mars weather and climate.
Don Hassler is the principal investigator for Curiosity's radiation instruments. He says astronauts could survive Mars's radiation alone, but
it's an 8 or 9 month trip to Mars, and it's an 8 or 9 month trip back.
And with 6 months on the surface added in, he says an astronaut could reach the danger point without proper protection. Peter King, CBS News.
The National Book Awards have been announced. Louise Erdrich wins for fiction, The Roundhouse. Nonfiction, Behind the Beautiful Forevers by Catherine Boo. Young People's Literature, William Alexander's Goblin Secrets. And for poetry, Bewilderment by David Ferry. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
There are many debt relief plans and scams out there. So if you find yourself with $10,000 or more in credit card debt and you just want the facts about legitimate debt relief solutions available to you, then call American Credit Card Solutions for a free informational kit that will tell you about your options in simple, easy-to-understand terminology. The kit is free, the shipping is free, and there is absolutely no sales pitch, just the facts, sent directly to you in the mail. This free informational kit can be mailed to you today so you can examine all the debt relief options available in the comfort of your home with no one pressuring you to make a quick decision. Call 800-912-1515 and ask for your free kit. That's 800-912-1515. This is a first-come, first-serve offer, and kits are limited. So call right now for your free debt informational kit. 800-912-1515. That's 800-912-1515.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
Hey, kids, remember lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute quiet.
Dun, 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 dun. Time for Reel to Reel with Bill Back and Jim D. And hi, Jimmy. How are you, man?
Bill, I'm doing great, and I want to congratulate you before we even get started on 35 years of broadcasting. And, you know, I was in radio back in the 70s, and even back then, you were the guy here in San Luis.
That's what I have a trouble when Jim tells me that, because there was a guy that was on the rock station. Captain Buffoon was the guy on the rock station. I thought he was the end-all to end-all for people.
Well, he was working at K-Sly and had the morning shift and everything, but you have been a fixture here in San Luis Obispo for 35 years. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Here's an interesting thing. Now, I'm going to give you a quiz because Jimmy was at Cal Poly, went to the KCPR, did his thing. Did you play like a music show? Did you do music?
I think I had almost every position except station manager. I was there. I was a journalism major, and,
right,
of course, KCPR was part of the journalism,
right,
department.
Right.
And I think I was program director, music director, always had...
Well, you did all that stuff.
I had air shift and everything. Right. I hung out at KCPR probably a majority of my years at Cal Poly.
What song has been played the most of any song, and we're talking about the 20th century to now, the 20th century and the first 12 years of the century, what is the number one song that's been played?
Is it Yesterday? The Beatles?
No, at one time it was. At one time, Yesterday was the number one song that was played, but it's been replaced. And actually, there's two above it. There's Yesterday's now third. I'm trying to think of what the other one is right above it, and I can't. But I know the first one, so I'm just going to say. Here's what's fascinating about this.
I should know this, but I don't.
No, not really, because I would not have guessed this. I really have to say I would not have guessed this. It is the Righteous Brothers, You've Lost That Loving Feeling.
Oh.
Now, try to imagine this. If a record is played 50,000 times, if it's played 50,000 times, that's equivalent to 5.7 years, okay, of continuous airplay.
Hmm.
Okay. The Righteous Brothers, according to BMI, has been played over 8 million times, which means that it's played more than 45 straight days. No, 45, what did I just tell you, years or days? Years. It's played for 45 years of continuous music. Not that it's been on the air 45, but so many stations have played it, and wherever it's a 3-minute something song, that it takes, that's how long it takes. And here was another cute story. Phil Spector was involved in it. It was written by a couple that used to write music for people. I can't think of their name. But Phil Spector was involved in it.
He produced it.
Yeah, he produced it. And the interesting thing is, it was actually 3 minutes and 50 seconds long, back when nobody would touch a record that was 3 minutes and 50 seconds long.
Yeah.
So he just lied, and he put 305 on the record. And it wasn't for until the song became a hit and people are going, you know, this doesn't seem like 3 minutes and 5 seconds. It wasn't.
Wow. I wonder if that was, that was definitely before we talked about MacArthur Park being, what, a 7-minute song.
Yeah.
And then the Beatles' Hey Jude is about 6 or 7 minutes. Right, it should be a 3-minute song because when they go into that thing at the end, they go on too long. And I'm a Beatles fan, that's the biggest selling Beatles song ever, I think, Hey Jude.
I thought, I agree with you too. Although you're right, of all the Beatles songs, the one that's been played the most is Yesterday. All right, that's the end of that. I had a fascinating Beatles story yesterday. We're going to get to movies here in a minute because remember, the Beatles did A Hard Day's Night and Help. Wasn't the two movies they did? Oh, Yellow Submarine.
And Let It Be was Let It Be them in the studio. It's really not available
at
this point. And then they just re-released Magical Mystery Tour,
Magical Mystery Tour.
TV show that flopped.
Okay, all right, so here you go. So this means we have a legitimate to talk about the Beatles. It turns out that they opened a subway station called Abbey Road Station for the Olympics. Abbey Road Station is the exact opposite end of England, the very far end of England from where Abbey Road actually is. So the tourists are going to Abbey Road Station and finding out there's nothing there that they're looking for. So and England isn't going to change it because they want people to have to then go back across London, you know, and get lunch or dinner, whatever they got to do, to go to see this crosswalk where they cross for the album. And the other thing is, it's because the actual station, if they said, for that place where their studio was, is St. Mary's Woods. That's the actual name of the station. Uh-huh. But who would know that?
Uh-huh.
You know, I know it now because they had a story about it, but, you know. Nobody knew.
Probably have a financial boom over there. People going, they're going, where's Abbey Road? Oh, it's across London, but they still buy some fish and chips or something.
I don't wonder if I've never been. Have you been to England?
Yes, I have.
Oh, how are their fish and chips? Are they good?
Pretty greasy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. You go to all these chip shops or fish and chips, and they have this giant picture of the deep-fried fish, and there it is all glistening and not looking all that appetizing. Last time I was in England was with my wife in 1978. I was also there in 73. The cuisine at that time, I would say, in England was not my favorite. So
that's what people said. They said, you know, basically the English, they don't know what was wrong with them. They just didn't make good food. I don't know. But that Jamie Oliver guy, fine, has changed everything for them.
Yeah. I don't mean to say, because when I was there with Patty, my wife, she said she'd never had better tasting tea than when she was in England. So, you know, it's time for tea time and everything. Well, the tea in this country, maybe it's improved since we've been there, but apparently, you know, according to her, the tea she had in England was far and away
better than what
the best that she ever had.
I just read a thing about India. India's always been big on tea also, and now Starbucks wants to go into India, so they're trying to say, okay, is there a way we can kind of do something to make this work in India? And they're going to sell tea originally. That's they're going to start off selling tea.
Hmm.
And then have some coffee offerings, but it's going to be more of a tea store than is a coffee store.
Wasn't it India probably where they got the tea in the first place, right?
Probably, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's hard to understand the whole thing. We're talking about movies today because, number one at the box office was, it was huge. What was it?
It was Skyfall. And,
it was Skyfall, yes.
Yeah, the James Bond movie. And that thing is really, I'm so fascinated by the fact that it played and made almost $400 million before it played at any theater here in this country. And I think it hit over 100 million on Monday, I believe. And the good thing about this film, Bill, which I haven't seen, but I'm looking forward to it because I am kind of a James Bond fan, the reviews across the board are excellent. And they also say it's very dark, and but in a good way, in the fact that, you know, his job isn't that fun. And, you know, you always got villains coming after you and everything. But they say this new one is one of the best Bonds ever.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I want to see it this week. I really want to get everybody around me. So I've seen it. It really holds up. It stands up to all the to the acclaim.
Here's the deal. What we're trying to do is I've got a friend who lives in Atascadero, and Atascadero has $5 seats or something on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
So I thought we were going to, and we've never been to the Galaxy Theater, so we thought we'd try that. But I don't know if I want to do it this Tuesday or wait another week.
Trust me, it'll still be there.
Well, no, I know it'll be there another week, but I'm saying is I think it might be too crowded this next Tuesday.
Not that the Bond audience is going to be the same as the Twilight audience. Now, this new Twilight is opening up this Friday, and that thing is going to probably outgross the Bond movie. And, you know, for me, these aren't Palm movies, but I'm just happy to see movies of people going out to the movie theaters and, you know, again, there are these franchises and everything like that, but still, if we get the overflow, you know, when they sell out, maybe they'll come over to the Palm. But I like people going out to the movies.
All right. What we'll do is when we come back from our break, we'll play Adele's Skyfall, the theme to the movie, or the love song, I guess it is.
Okay.
All right, that'd be fun. So you're right, the Twilight thing is coming out, so they got all the Twilight actors and actresses are being paraded, being in front of everybody, you know, in the talk shows.
Yep.
And everybody's saying, oh, it's too bad we're being, it's a done thing. This one looks really, I have never seen a whole one all the way through. They always seem kind of weird to me about people changing into animals. Why not? Now they move fast. Have they always done that? They can all of a sudden go, and they're there.
Well, I confess I haven't seen any of them. But I think, you know, the undercurrent here, too, is sort of like the Harry Potter books and movies. They are popular on both accounts. And the Twilight series, based on a series of books. And it's kind of nice that the audience is reading and then going out to the movies. And the Hunger Games, too. I guess we're going to have two more of those because that was a trilogy. And there's another franchise. The next one's going to come out and make a gazillion dollars.
That's funny. I was looking. I was on. Here's what I find fun about the internet. This is. I don't know what other people use it for, but here's what I find is fun. Any question that's in your brain that you ever want to ask that you don't know the answer to, you know, why is poop brown? I mean, anything. No, seriously. Anything you want to know, you ask the computer, and there's an answer there somewhere.
Hopefully, it's the right answer.
Hopefully, it's the right answer. you got to be careful who you use as a guide on that. I agree with that. But I find that just fascinating, I was going somewhere with this, and we had so there was something else. Oh, I know what I was doing. I was looking at jewelry for no particular reason. I wasn't buying any. I was just looking, and now they have, if they have little bows and arrows, they call them Hunger Games. Hunger Games jewelry, and it's not. It's just bows and arrows. It's the silliest thing in the whole wide world. But they now can associate that with a movie, so they say, here you go.
Well, the only thing that reminds me of, Bill, is this week, Patty, my wife, and I were looking, you know, about the internet, and you can find the answers, and we were looking at our set of Encyclopedia Britannica and how it's got dust on it, and we were kind of going, what should we do with this?
What year was it?
I don't know. You know, our two daughters, we had this.
Right, right.
It was pre-internet. And
I remember we had it as a kid.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't really pre-internet. Well, I guess it was. But, I mean, you know, an encyclopedia in the home is important for school and if you have kids and so on. But we're looking at it and just going, what do we do with all these books in the bookshelf?
I think those are now called anchors.
Or coasters or something.
A matter of fact, the last edition that they did is the last edition they're going to do on paper.
Oh, that's right. I guess they're out of business even, huh?
Well, I don't know if they're out of...
Maybe they're online.
I think they're online.
Yeah.
But they're not selling paper versions anymore.
Yeah.
Print media.
Huh.
Well, so then it becomes interesting is there a collectible year, for instance? And we don't know yet. You know, I'd hang on to them still. Because it's somewhere down the road, all of a sudden we'll discover, no, they're not worth a darn thing, so you might as well burn them. Or, guess what? Some of these are worth more than others.
Yeah.
Because that market will start to create itself now that, you know, it's not being printed anymore, I would think.
I like to think that they have some value, but we're thinking about donating them.
I think I got some old farmer's almanacs. I'm hoping for good things with that. I doubt it, Bill. Okay. Let's talk about other things that are going on. So we have the Twilight Saga, we have Skyfall. Let's talk about some of the other things here.
There's a few that are hanging in really nicely. We've talked about Argo for the past 3 or 4 weeks. It's hanging into the top 10. I think it's reaching about 100 million. And, you know, that's the kind of movie I tend to think that Hollywood would like, where it hangs out in the movie theaters. People go to see it. There's word of mouth. They go back to see it maybe a second time, as opposed to, you know, well, Skyfall will make a gazillion dollars, and that's another story altogether. But rather than a movie coming and it makes its money in about 2 weeks and then it disappears until you see it on video, something like Argo, Wreck-It Ralph is actually doing quite well for a younger audience. And that the fact that they hang out in the theater a little bit longer than 2 weeks is always a good thing.
Good sign, yeah. And Argo has, so that's good news. Let's see some of the other ones that are four bangers. Searching for Sugar Man is a four banger movie you're going to talk about with yours, but I'm not talking about that.
That one's gone.
Late Quartet you have.
Oh, Late Quartet. I was talking about Sugar Man.
Okay. I think that ended yesterday
at the downtown.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so that's gone. Anyway, we're going to talk about Late Quartet. But anyway, the Lincoln is rated 4 tickets.
Yeah.
Again, this rating thing, I don't really hold much to, but I'm just telling you what they are. And then let's see what else we had. The Untouchables was rated 4. Sessions, which you still have, I assume.
Yeah, that's doing nicely, and we're bringing back Intouchables, which was sort of by popular demand.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. And then some of these other. Let's see if anybody's really poo-pooed. The Man with the Iron Fist was poo-pooed.
A couple of weeks ago, we showed this film that I liked a lot called Tai Chi Zero. It was this action-packed, crazy movie, and nobody came to see it. So maybe 10 people.
Well, here's the here's what's not yet out. Life of Pi, is it?
Yeah, that's based on the book. It's directed by Ang Lee. It's supposed to be gorgeously photographed, and they're really pushing the 3D on that one. And it's about a guy and a tiger.
A guy ends up in a lifeboat with an orangutan, a zebra, a hyena, and a Bengal tiger.
Yep. The book was extremely popular. I didn't read it, but I've seen the preview, and it looks absolutely stunningly photographed.
Now, Ang Lee's last effort was a failure, if I remember. It was one of these mythical god goddesses fat battle things. You know, remember that?
Oh,
it's called Heavier Than Air, or something about the air. You could walk on air. Airbender, the last Airbender. Wasn't that Ang Lee?
No, it was. Wasn't that the guy who? No, that wasn't the guy who did the Sixth Sense.
I think it was Ang Lee.
Oh, might have been.
Anyway, so we're looking for Ang to have another good movie out.
Yeah, well, his claim to fame, of course, is what is it? Going back.
What was his big movie?
Oh, Crouching Tiger.
I was just about to say the same thing. Crouching Tiger. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is what's too bad. He had such a success with that, and I would have said to him, you know, look at somebody De Laurentiis, who had monumental successes and monumental failures.
Yes.
You know, I said, just look at him and don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Someday I have a granddaughter. She's pretty. She cooks, and everybody like her. So anyway, so after that, everybody was expecting Tiger that everything was going to be the most wonderful thing in the whole world. Ang Lee did, which didn't turn out to be so.
Well, he did the first Incredible Hulk, which was pretty bad. Yeah. And you know, for me, Ang Lee made a number of small, you know, I want to say intimate pictures. Before he made Crouching Tiger, Eat, Drink, Man, Woman, a handful of really small films. I can't think of the titles right now. And I just thought he was very, very good with, family issues or just small, well-acted films. And a lot of people forget about those ones because he's almost become a director of, like, these big blockbusters nowadays. But his early work is really worth checking out.
Why do we have to see Red Dawn again? Why is it coming out again? Do you know?
Good question. I thought the first one was about we're trying to guard us from a communist invasion or something like that. Wasn't it like Russia was going
to
come
pissed,
in?
But it was not that well done either.
And it goes back to maybe the 70s,
I think. This is the only reason. We still were a little Cold War-ish back then. So,
yeah.
You know, it had that element to it, but now we don't have that element. So I don't know, is it supposed to be Russians this time or is it somebody else?
Well, they got red in there.
It says red. Let me see.
Aren't the Ruskies red?
A study of young people band together to train as a guerrilla resistance movement invaded by foreign powers, all they say.
Yeah.
Okay, well, a foreign power. We know what that is.
Well, when they have a red in there, of course, we talk about the 50s with the Red Scare.
Yes, we assume that, but this may, the young people may relate red a whole different way. Especially with this movie, if this movie succeeds with younger people.
Yep.
That's interesting, huh? Well, you never know. Rise of the Guardians is one of these 3D animated jobber dudes that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
A young boy is enlisted to battle the evil Nightmare King.
Yeah, you'll see more of those coming out in the next few weeks just to, you know, we get into the Christmas season. Hopefully there'll be a good mixture of Oscar contenders, but a lot of good films for kids. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll see. So you have, we'll get to Palm yet. Let's still talk about some of these other things.
Life of Pi might get into that category because I think it may be, I think it's rated PG, and therefore I think it could be good for all ages.
Oh, okay.
The preview looks like it's very, it would be really good for all ages.
Flight's doing well, I think, is it not?
It's doing pretty well.
Not great, but pretty well, right?
Yeah, it's hanging into the top five.
People that are afraid of flying, they're not going to go see it. You know, and that's a lot of people. I mean, truly, there's a lot of people who don't like to fly.
I wonder if they thought about that demographic. Oh, my gosh.
They didn't. They didn't. And they absolutely will not go see that. Especially, now see, I could see it because I'm not getting on a plane. I don't like to fly, but I'm not flying. So I can go see it and go, oh, whatever, you know what I mean? I look up plane crashes on YouTube. Just to sit back and go, see, I don't have to worry about that because I'm not getting on one. But the people that have to fly, that don't like to fly, you got those people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not going to be happy with that movie.
You know, I actually would like, I haven't seen Flight, but Denzel is supposed to be great in it. And again, I think it's important to note the director is Robert Zemeckis, whose last few films were animated. He did Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey, which is that animated thing. He did Polar Express with Tom Hanks. But prior to that, I want to say, well, he did Forrest Gump, he did the Back to the Future films, a few others. So seeing him more in a dramatic role as director with Denzel, I hear the film's pretty great.
I played Polar Express the other day and really enjoyed it. What we'll do is, as we head towards Christmas, we'll play after the commercial, the half hour here, we'll end up playing some Christmas. We'll have a Christmas cut. From a movie.
Yeah, I finally watched Polar Express, I think, last Christmas, and I got a big kick out of it. I thought it was quite good.
I did, too, and it was very, you know, again, it was something that I hadn't seen before. I hadn't seen it done before quite that way, and I really kind of liked it. It was a little draggy here and there to me, a little bit, so, you know, because you're with a bunch of kids on a train,
mm-hmm.
so that's bound to do that. But still, it was very well done, and to have Tom Hanks in it, of course, was wonderful.
Yeah, and he played a number of roles, and that would be one I would have to say to see it on the big screen really would make a great impact.
Right. Denzel Washington, I'm trying to think of any flop I've ever seen Denzel Washington. Is he in a flop?
Well, you know, he has starred in a lot of these big blockbuster films, like the Unstoppable about the train that doesn't.
Well, that
stop
one, I have to be honest with you, I wasn't even compelled to see that. If it was on TV right now and I could just watch it, I would not be compelled to watch his thing about the train won't stop and he's going to save the day. I don't know why there's something behind that storyline that is just phony baloney to me.
Well, I'd almost want to, you know, you want to see a film for Denzel to do a good performance, and this you just want to see the train. Crashing through
right,
stuff.
Right. Okay, let's somebody's on the line. Let's get on the line and say, well, I got the phones open today.
Hey.
Sorry, I got the phones open. Hello?
Yes, hi. You guys were talking about Ang Lee and his successes.
Yes.
I think you may want to mention that Ang Lee directed Brokeback Mountain. I would say that was probably.
I tell you what, you are absolutely right.
Yes.
You're right. I would say that was huge. That was absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks for sharing that.
That was my comment. Thank
good. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Boy, how did I forget that one?
I don't know. These things happen. You know, it's the age thing. I'm telling you. It's not good. It's not right.
That was a huge hit at the Palm. And, you know, he did another film that was rated NC-17. I believe it did it after Brokeback Mountain, called Lust Caution, which was actually quite a fine film. The box office was a fraction of what Brokeback Mountain brought in, but it was another film he did, I think, after that one. He also did the one about the Civil War with Tobey Maguire in it, I believe. I forget what that one was. You know, he has quite a few films to his credit, and I'm glad he's still out there making movies.
Let's go back to Denzel. Has he done a bad movie?
Hmm.
Well, here's the problem. Here's what we're saying. Okay, so the train movie probably didn't do great. I don't think it did great, did it?
I don't know how well it did.
I don't think it did. Nobody cares about the movie. Anyway, here's the deal. But the problem is that Denzel is such a great actor. You know, I mean, I don't care. You know, we talk about the ability to draw an audience in, you know. He is one of the people that I believe can still do it.
Yes.
You know, if he's in it, you say, okay, I want to go see it.
Yeah.
You know, because he's always so darn good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I just, I admire his craft. You know, Robert De Niro has made... just this last year, 27 movies. And so, I mean, he's also very good at his craft, but, you know, Robert De Niro bites at anything that walks by, which is okay. A guy's making a living, that's good. And as long if it's got Robert De Niro, you know, it's going to be at least that good.
Yeah, you know, Robert De Niro has this incredible reputation, of course, but I call him kind of a blue-collar actor in the fact that he likes to work. And I'm not saying he doesn't care what the script is, but
you can say that.
He's in a lot of movies that we probably couldn't come up with.
No, Lord, help. The worst I ever saw him in was that Shelley Happiness Frankenstein thing.
Oh, that's right. God, with Kenneth Branagh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Oh, that was so bad.
Well, you know, to me, Robert De Niro, if we're going to talk about him, I think his comedic talents have never been utilized. When you see something like Midnight Run, where he is hilarious. I mean, and that's such a fun action movie. That's one I could see over and over.
Well, and then Ben Stiller has said, okay, is that who I'm talking about, Ben Stiller?
Oh, with the Meet the Parents.
Yeah, Meet the Parents and all that. Mm-hmm. For him to say, okay, that's the guy I want to cast for this, you know, because he can be menacing, but he and Barbara Streisand were very funny in this thing,
uh-huh.
Barbara Streisand. Well, Barbara Streisand's in it. His wife is, what's her name? She's been around forever. Can't think of it. Barbara Streisand with the other parents with Dustin Hoffman. But anyway, but he plays the part very well. Mm-hmm. You know, he's menacing. He's a mean guy, but yet he can carry the comedy part of it and make it work.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry I missed that. But, I mean, for me, he did something in Midnight Run that you don't see in some of his other movies. And it was a comedic talent you don't see utilized as much.
We got somebody calling in. We'll say hi to Hello.
Hi, this is Debbie.
Hi, Deb.
I liked Robert De Niro in that movie that he did with Sean Penn where they were escaped convicts and they ended up in a, a monastery. And they were trying to cross the border into Canada, and I can't, Nuns on the Run is all I can think of it. I know.
Here's why it's hard to remember that. Two movies came out, Eric Idle or somebody was in the other one, and two movies came out about the same time with the same theme. It was
The one with De Niro was really good. I enjoyed that one myself.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. But then another movie came out right after it or right before it that was so similar. It was kind of like, whoa, that's kind of weird, you know. So, but that you're right. That was a good movie. Right. Well done.
That's what I had to add to Robert De Niro. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Okay.
Great calls today. And boy, now I'm going to have to search my memory or hit the computer like you said when I get home.
I hit the computer. I
have to remember what that movie was.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to hear Adele's Skyfall, and then we'll be back to talk about what's going on at the Palm Theater this week after these words.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
The fundamental things apply as time goes by.
As time goes by, say goodbye to your hearing. You might think you look bad in your hearing aid, but nobody's even going to know because they're invisible.
Here's looking at you, kid.
She can go to the Palm and watch a subtitle flick.
Suppose you run your business and let me run mine.
My business will tell you about Karen Scott Audiology. When it comes to hearing, she's the best for little kids, big kids, young adults, middle-agers, and we old elders. Sure, you don't hear well, so you're used to reading lips, but what about these lips? They hardly move. How are you going to know what this guy's saying?
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
See, Dr. Karen Scott, so your next trip to the Palm will be enjoyable. For your hearing's sake, go see Karen Scott in the Walther Building next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Okay, pipe down. It's only a couple of weeks away. Hi, this is Michael Morin from Morin Brothers Automotive with Lenny and Gertie, the diagnostic duo. Halloween is history and Thanksgiving is right around the corner, so the mutts are pretty sure there'll be some turkey coming their way. America's ritual of eating a large dead bird usually involves the oven, but deep frying has been gaining in popularity recently. Big problem is the 2 or 3 gallons of vegetable oil visiting us like a bad hangover. At Morin Brothers, going green is a big part of our auto repair philosophy, so when the American Biodiesel Buyers Club approached us to sponsor a vegetable oil recycling station, we were all over it. On Saturday, November 24th, between 12 and 3 p.m., Morin Brothers Automotive will accept used turkey oil for recycling into biofuel for diesel cars and trucks. We're located at 4090 Broad Street in San Luis Obispo. So have a great turkey day and recycle that vegetable oil at Morin Brothers Automotive, 4090 Broad Street, San Luis Obispo.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Talk about a marriage made in hog heaven. Moe's Smokehouse Barbecue in the Palm Theater. They're right around the corner from each other. If you're headed to the 415 show at the Palm, have a rack of ribs at Moe's after the show. Going to the Palm's 7 p.m. show, you gotta go to Moe's for a pulled pork, chicken, or shredded beef sandwich. On the weekends, Moe's has 6 different salads you can enjoy before the 1:30 show. And when it's over, you can go back to Moe's, enjoy half a chicken or chicken sandwich, slaw, tater salad, fries, chips, onion rings, and lots of other things. It's Moe's and Moe Knows Barbecue. When you're enjoying a popcorn and soda at the Palm, leave room for some chipotle lime tacos and a pitcher of beer at Moe's. Moe's has food to go, and when was the last time you had some ribs at the Palm? I'm just kidding. Maybe. What makes Moe's so darn good is Experience, the happiest city in America's first barbecue restaurant. How do you think we got the title? Moe's and the Palm Theater, perfectly paired for your enjoyment.
Together.
to Skyfall from I said, Jim, does Skyfall mean anything? He goes, shake a little. I didn't know if it came from something, like if it came from a book or a magazine or a show or something.
Yeah, there's something about those Bond songs. They use certain chords or something.
Yeah, they got it.
Sounded pretty great.
We got somebody on the phone we're going to say hi to today. Hello?
Hi. First of all, congratulations on 35 years. I love local radio, and you are definitely local radio.
Thank you, sir.
And I like that. And my thing is... The movie Scarecrow, way back when Gene Hackman and Al Pacino, and Al Pacino is like a Silver Star winner, and he's going to hitchhike from the West Coast to East Coast to get married. And Gene Hackman's a grizzled young fellow, but mean and ornery, and they end up hitchhiking together. And when they get to the East Coast, Al Pacino finds his fiance has been cheating on him, and he goes into a coma or a catatonic state. And Gene Hackman is the comedian. In other words, he transformed his personality, even though sad ending with Al Pacino.
That was the ending? Was he going to the girlfriend's cheating? He goes in a catatonic state.
Yeah, and then Gene Hackman goes to the hospital, and he's like trying to be goofy. The way he never was before. The beginning of the movie, they both are hitchhiking the same direction.
And what's the name of this movie?
Scarecrow.
Gene Hackman is so grizzled or sarcastic, he actually walks across the road and hitchhikes the opposite direction just to get,
get away from the guy. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's called Scarecrow.
Scarecrow.
Gene Hackman and Al Pacino, which I always thought, geez, that could have been a Dustin Hoffman role, but Al Pacino did it great.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I remember the title. I remember Gene Hackman, but not much else. So that's great that you filled us in. It's probably from the mid-70s.
It was fun to watch it, and I hope you people get to see it.
Good.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Congratulations, Bill.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Okay, bye.
Well, there's a guy, Gene Hackman, who's been at it forever, and I'm sure he could play any role and play a comedic role as well. And, boy, I vaguely remember that movie. I just remember Gene Hackman, but not much else.
Gene Hackman's been a lot of stuff for sure. Al Pacino. Al Pacino's interesting. Al Pacino got crazed looking as he got older, but it worked out for the parts that he got. Or
I think
something.
He's got fire inside of him, you know.
That Devil movie that he made with Keanu Reeves there.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's part of his real persona right there.
There was one that Robert De Niro played the devil in as well. I forget what that one was called. I have to research these so we don't sound completely out of left field, some of these movies. But, I got to remember the Robert De Niro one where he played the devil.
I'm going to confess something to a Gene Hackman movie here that the end of it, I have to admit, I to this day scratch my head and say, okay. And that is The Unforgiven. So when he's laying on the floor, he's been wounded by Clint, and then Clint Eastwood, he starts to rear his head, and then Clint goes over and puts the gun against his head, and he says, this isn't fair, I'm building a house. Or he says, I'm building a house, this is unfair. And then Clint Eastwood says, fair's got nothing to do with it, and shoots him.
Mm.
Well, now, when he first goes into that bar, and the reason he goes into that bar is because his friend was, tortured or whipped to death and put out front.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a reason. So that I thought, well, wait a minute, you have a reason to be there. And at the end when he goes, fair's got nothing to do with it, that sort of referred back to when he was just drunk and shooting people and didn't care, mm-hmm. I assume. Am I right?
I haven't seen the film in quite some time, and the idea that Clint Eastwood has to sort of live up to this past that he had, revisits him, but under these circumstances, I think he didn't want to do that anymore. I think he wanted to play it straight and play it fair, but in this case,
he
wasn't going to play fair,
right?
I need to see the movie again to really answer that question. It's been too long since I've seen Unforgiven. And, boy, that movie, that won Best Picture, that swept the Academy Awards whatever year that was.
And after that, Clint continued to make movies at his own peril. People really like Gran Torino. I tell you what, Gran Torino, and I'm usually the Dumbo. When the movie's over, I don't get what just happened. Like just now I'm telling you this line from Unforgiven. It's 10 years later, I'm scratching my head going, I didn't understand that line at all. So that's me in movies. But halfway through Gran Torino, I knew how it was going to end. I just knew how it was going to end. Mm-hmm. So I just, it was like one of those. I thought, well, that's disappointing. But a lot of people really liked it. But it was like, it's so obvious. It's so obvious how this is going to end. How can you like this that much?
Well, in some cases, I think people like to see what they want to see or their expectations being met. I've had the experience at the Palm where expectations aren't met and people sometimes aren't happy. Sometimes they're overjoyed. So,
you know, it's interesting, too, Clint. He's got another movie he's doing. I don't know when it's going to be released. He's in the process of doing another movie now, and I forget what it's about. But anyway, I know he's doing another one because I have a copy of everything he's ever done. Now, I don't know why I bothered to have that happen to me, but it just did.
Did you see the new one called Trouble with the Curve? Because I haven't seen that. Okay.
No, but he's got another one. I think already he's talking about doing another one.
Hmm.
Anyway, Trouble with the Curve. You know, again, sometimes with Clint Eastwood's movies, just watching the trailer of that, it's kind of like he says this, and you almost know she's going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says this, and you almost know she's going to say this. It's the only thing that's not compelling in that way to me. It's kind of weird that maybe I just think too much like Clint Eastwood. I know how he's going to write a script or something. I have no idea. But it just seems like, you know, I can anticipate what's going to be said.
Hmm.
It's weird.
Hmm.
I have ESPN.
ESPN.
I have visions of sports dancing in my head. All right, so let's talk about what's going on at the Palm Theater, because we got a new one that's been rated four ticket. Again, we don't care about the rating. I'm just saying it is, and because we don't care about what the hell people rate things at, because that doesn't seem to matter. And I just said, I used that word yesterday three times, and so I'm going to say heck, because it's not like me. I don't know what's gotten into me lately. I'm getting crusty. You know, I'm getting old and crusty, and that's the problem. All right,
35 years of broadcasting.
I guess maybe that's it. I don't know what to. So here, let's talk about the Late Quartet.
Well, this is a film I saw at Toronto a couple of months ago. I liked it a whole lot. There's a really good review of it in today's Ticket, even though when I read the review this morning, it's Stephen Holden of the New York Times. He kind of tells you a little too much. So if you like to go to see movies a little bit not knowing what you're going to see, I mean, a Late Quartet is about a string quartet. The members include Christopher Walken, Catherine Keener, and Philip Seymour Hoffman, another actor whose name isn't coming to mind, but it's...
Those three people right there, I have to admit, when I read this thing, I thought, wow, that's got to be something.
It is. Well, I love the movie, and I think it deserves the four tickets. It's about a string quartet that's been together for like 25 years. They are world-renowned, one of the greatest quartets in the world, apparently. Christopher Walken is the oldest member, and I'm not going to give anything away. He loses his wife. His wife passes away. So here's this sort of family unit. It's a string quartet. They live, you know, they tour together. They do everything together. They make music together. And then something happens, and then it's almost like a domino effect of the fact that, you know, one member has an issue and it affects the entire family. And then the very interesting part of this whole thing is they are trying to perform a late quartet. The late refers to Beethoven's late compositions, which are apparently extremely difficult to play. His most challenging work was in his later years. The piece by Beethoven they're trying to play is uncharacteristic of the usual things. This is like seven movements. You can't stop. Essentially, if you're a quartet, you're going to start going out of tune midway through this piece. And it's sort of a metaphor for what happens to this quartet when there's an issue with one of the members and then things start to fall into each other. I thought the movie was really good. And for music lovers out there, you know, there's so-called music movies and there are musicals. This movie really gets into being musical or what music is, and there's beautiful music throughout, a lot of Beethoven, a lot of great, great music. And Christopher Walken is fabulous. He doesn't play a really offbeat role. He's really great in this film. He's the cellist.
But Christopher Walken even straight. I mean, how does that kind of, he comes off what, you know? I mean, the movie started with Denzel Washington, where he was a CIA guy that became the bodyguard, Dakota Fanning, and all that kind of stuff anyway. So he was fairly straight in that. But even when he's straight, there's something about Christopher Walken that's kind of like it reminds me of Al Pacino.
Yeah.
There's something else going on in there.
He is almost the anchor in this film. I mean, again, I'm referring to the string quartet as a family unit. He's almost like a father figure. But, boy, I mean, I got to tell you, you know, usually Christopher Walken is either making you laugh or cringe or just go, God, this guy is very offbeat. In this film, he almost makes you cry because he is so good and he's so sensitive. And he is like, I want to call him the patriarch of this whole
film. That's cool because remember we talked about this and I said, here you have people that do these roles all the time that are a certain thing. And then why? What if you put them in a really dramatic role where they didn't that part of their personality wasn't important anymore, just their acting was, which just sounds like what you're telling me about this movie.
That's cool. Christopher Walken has been stereotyped obviously as these kind of wacky guys or what, but boy, in this film he is like the anchor, and I love the film, and if you're a lover of music you'll like this film, and great acting pulls it together. The what are some of the reviews? It borders on the melodramatic, and I don't agree with that. But just to see these actors working together and in a very intelligently written film, I liked it a lot. So I highly recommend The Late Quartet.
This is something that's very interesting. You couldn't remember the other person that was in it, and this part and the movie guide, they list Seymour Hoffman, Christopher Walken, and Catherine Keener. They don't mention the fourth guy. Let me find the fourth guy.
He's a great actor. He is the other violinist in the group, and I could kick myself, and I owe him to know his name, but he's very good in it. All four actors of the quartet are really, really good in this movie.
All right, here we go. Let's see who it is. Seymour Hoffman, Christopher Walken. Well, who would know that guy? Well, there's two other names in here. Imogen Poots.
Oh, she is the daughter. Catherine Keener and Philip Seymour Hoffman are married. And she plays the daughter.
Okay, Imogen Poots. And then the other person is Wallace Shawn.
Oh, yeah, Wallace Shawn. You know, of like My Dinner with Andre. He's in Princess Bride. He's in a ton of stuff. But he has a very small role.
Okay. So that's what's going on with that show. Let's talk about other things that are going on. Sessions, I guess, is doing very well, and not just because the woman gets naked, but because apparently she does a great job. I have to say this, Helen. I told you this before. I've never seen a lot of Helen Hunt. I never watched her in her sitcom, but the few movies that I've seen her in, when she started, you know, going to the big screen like that, I was impressed with.
Yeah, she's very good in Sessions. She's a sex therapist trying to help a John Hawke, who is really good in this, as a polio victim. He is essentially, you know, bedridden the entire film. He's on a stretcher, but he would like to have some intimacy. And Helen Hunt, as a sex therapist, provides it for him. And it sounds a little more, shall we say, provocative than I'm making it. It does have a provocative element, but there's a lot of laughs in it. And it doesn't go over getting too sentimental or sappy. I mean, it's just this sweet guy who has a handicap, and he would just like to know what it feels like. And Helen Hunt to the rescue. And it's a charming film. Oh, and it's based on a true story.
Oh, it is, really?
Yep, it's based on the memoirs of this polio victim. And I forget his name in the film, but it's a true story.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Based on a true story.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought somebody just came up with a way to get Helen Hunt's clothes off.
No.
Now we have another movie. Okay, so The Untouchables coming back. And then what happened with Yoga Woman? Is that staying or going?
Today is the last day for Yoga Woman.
Okay, today's last day.
Very targeted audience. I think I shouldn't say this. I say everybody who should have come to see this were in yoga class. They, you know, very targeted audience, but it was a very uplifting, very powerful movie of how women are embracing yoga. And so that plays today, 4:15 and 7, last chances to see it. Very, very good film, but very few coming to see it.
Well, you know, if you've done yoga, go to see it, darn it, 4:15 and 7 o'clock.
It goes beyond just women doing yoga. It's very empowering. It's a very good film.
Well, it must be, because just watching women do yoga probably wouldn't really sustain itself for more than about 10 minutes at the very most, I would think.
It's very good, though. Very good. I wish more people would have come to see it.
I went to yoga class with Nancy, but because I'm dilapidated, I really can't do any of the yoga stuff, you know. But it was very nice. I sat in this mat and looked out this window. The door was open, you know, and you could see the mountains and everything, and I found yoga to be very peaceful.
It's all about stretching and keeping limber,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you can't. I'm past that. It's not going to happen for me, I'll tell you that right now. Okay, and then let's remind people what The Untouchables is about.
The Untouchables is coming back. I thought maybe this week, maybe families coming around for Thanksgiving holiday might enjoy this film. We showed it a few months back and had a really great turnout. And I've had constant requests to bring it back. So we're bringing back Intouchables tomorrow. I don't know if we'll do it for a week or 2 weeks. It depends on people coming out. But it sure was a hit for us prior to, and that was a real feel-good. People really like that.
Well, here's an important thing to know, too. If that many people loved it and they want to come back, that speaks for itself. If you haven't seen it, I think it says go see it.
Yeah, it did very well. Great word-of-mouth film. And getting back to Sessions, I think Sessions will have great word-of-mouth, too. I think we got hit by James Bond last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
For sure. The sky fell on you. We are not together next week. It's Thanksgiving, and so we shan't be together doing reel-to-reel next week, but we'll get together the week after that, and Jimmy will return, and we'll get to it and have another edition of Reel-to-Reel. Jim, thanks for coming again today, as always.
And congratulations on the 35 years behind the microphone.
Thank you, sir.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.